A letter from 1776 was discovered recently, written by the Reverend Eleazar Wheelock. It concerns how and when the Reverend would pay for two particular items, a wheel of cheese and a human being. The Reverend was not living in a southern state at the time he wrote it. He was a resident of the state of New Hampshire and was also the founder of and first president of Dartmouth College, which is celebrating its 250th anniversary this year. Freelance reporter Matt Golick wrote about the discovery of this letter and what Dartmouth is doing with it in an article for the Valley News. He spoke about it with VPR's Morning Edition host, Mitch Wortlieb.
Where did this letter written by Eleazar Wheelock turn up?
The letter was found by Dartmouth archivist Peter Carini. He has done just some amazing work digging through the Dartmouth archives to find all sorts of material related to slavery and Dartmouth's founder and first president, Eleazar Wheelock.
You know, some listeners may be surprised to hear about this happening in a northern state like New Hampshire. Was slavery a normal part of early life in America, even in states that would eventually, you know, go on to fight in the Civil War against southern states that wanted to maintain a slave trade?
You know, that's an interesting question. I was born in Vermont, grew up in Vermont and Maine, and I kind of grew up thinking that slavery wasn't something that happened in the North. It was more a southern problem. But in reporting this story and doing some other reading, I learned that it was fairly common here. The Atlantic merchants that helped build some of the big port cities in New England were involved in the slave trade, or at least had some economic ties there. And many professionals, such as doctors and ministers, had one or two slaves that they owned. Wheelock was a little unusual in that he owned, I think, 19 slaves over his lifetime. That's kind of a big number for New England. We do have some little hints from his logbooks and things of him renting out enslaved people to do some work for neighbors. And it's supposed that they help clear, you know, some of the big pine trees that were present here on Dartmouth's campus now.
Well, what is Dartmouth doing now in 2019 to highlight its own uncomfortable past with slavery?
Let me just mention that places like Brown and Princeton and Harvard, these places have done a little something different than Dartmouth. They've made a more institutional drive to sort of grapple with our past, with slavery, issuing big reports or memorials or reckonings. Dartmouth is taking a little bit of a different approach there. It's a more decentralized approach where they are letting different people within the college, such as Peter Carini and especially sociology professor Deborah King, who is leading a class, an undergraduate class on slavery in Dartmouth. She's also doing a symposium that will be open to the public this fall that should be very interesting. But so Dartmouth is not having one sort of focused official response to their role in slavery. Instead, it's sort of percolating throughout the school in different places. And there's some pros and cons to that, of course.
To be clear, there was no effort whatsoever by Dartmouth to hide this letter, to hide any of this information. They're being as upfront about this as they possibly can. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're weaving it into the 250th anniversary celebration. You don't think about including these things in a celebration. So I think that's definitely commendable. Talking to different people, people were not sort of ashamed of this, the Dartmouth's past. It wasn't that people didn't want to talk about it. People were actually pleased and proud that Dartmouth was addressing it in albeit a decentralized way. And so that surprised me a bit, that people were thinking, this is good that Dartmouth is doing that. I'm proud of my school that we're addressing this. Some of the people I talked to, such as Professor King and Peter Carini, think that perhaps a more institutional approach would be helpful, a push to really bring it into the forefront of people's minds. But there's also some freedom in that Dartmouth is not saying this is the one way we are going to approach this, that there's a lot of different ways that this is happening and being talked about.
And what's the ultimate goal of these efforts, to show Dartmouth's historical connections to slavery?
For Dartmouth, again, because it's decentralized, different people will have different goals, but I think they're interested in revealing the full truth. It's kind of hard to forge ahead in the future without really understanding your past and getting a good basis of what really happened.
Matt Golick is a freelance reporter who has written about Dartmouth College's ties to slavery in the Valley News. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.